Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you all the glory, we give you all the praise. We thank you, Lord, for another time in your presence. Your word says where two or three people are gathered in your presence, you are there with them. As we are gathered here, we know you are here with us. Lord, we pray that we will not leave your presence the same. Touch our lives, God. Touch our hearts. Let us be transformed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Right, so last week we started with taking control of your emotions. So we started with taking control of your emotions, and then we looked at the first one we looked at was hatred. And our anchor scripture, our anchor verse is Galatians chapter 5. The Bible says, now the works of the flesh are evident. They are evident. It's obvious. You can see it when you see the works of the flesh. The Bible says they are evident. The Bible says, which is adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the time past, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So those who practice these things, is if you make it your habit, if you make it your practice, if you make it something you constantly do, the Bible says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So last week we looked at hatred, and just because of time, I don't want us to take it all over again, but we looked at hatred. Today I want us to move on to wrath or anger. The Bible says that the outburst of wrath or getting angry, and this is what I want us to deal with. These emotions set a barrier between us and our relationship with God and our fellowship with the Holy Spirit. If you're going to be able to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you have to purge yourself of all these things, because this emotion will be a barrier between you and the Holy Spirit. It will not make the relationship you have with the Holy Spirit be the best of relationships. It will have a way of stopping you from having genuine fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And so all these negative emotions are things that we need to pay attention to. As believers, we might think that, oh, I'm prayerful, I'm fasting, I'm doing all those things. But if you have these things hidden in your heart, they prevent you from seeing the glory of God. They prevent you from really having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that we need to really pay attention to is our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because when Jesus Christ left, he says, I'm leaving you with the Holy Spirit. And so if we don't pay attention, anything that hinders our relationship with him, we have to deal with. We don't have to take it lightly. And so the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, you have heard that it's said you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That is what the worldly people do. They love their neighbors. Anybody who is nice to them, they will love them. But they will hate their enemies. It's easy, naturally, it is easy to hate your enemy. The person doesn't like you. You have absolutely no reason to love the person because the person doesn't like you. So the Bible says that you have heard that it's been said that you love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies. That's a very big word. Love your enemies. Have unconditional love for the person that you know hates you. They have decided that they are your enemies. But the Bible says, love your enemies. So many places today, they would rather pray that their enemies will die. And that's why Jesus Christ told John that you don't know the spirit of which you are made of. The Bible asks us to love our enemies. He says, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. So for the world to see that you are a son of God or you are a child of God, you must do these things. And the Bible says that, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. So God does not show partiality, that because this person is evil, I'll not make the sun shine on the person. But then he makes the sun to shine on both the evil and the good. And the Bible says that, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? So the Bible is saying that if you are a believer and you just love the people who love you, you are just like that. At this point, the tax collectors were seen as the sinners, like the worst sinners of all. Those people who were the tax collectors at that time in the Jewish, in Israel at that time, were seen as the most sinful people. And the Bible is saying that if you just love people who love you, you are just like the most sinful person, because that's what they also do. Like anybody you can think about, the murderers, the armed robbers, and all those people, they love the people who love them. The people they spend time with, they go out to drink with, they love them. And they hate the people who hate them. And the Bible says that if you're a child of God and you do the same thing, you are just like the worst of sinners. At that time, the tax collectors were seen as the worst of sinners. That's what the Bible is saying here. So as children of God, we are not supposed to entertain hatred for other people. And today, I want us to focus on wrath, having anger, being so angry. There are people who are angry about everything. When you see them and you say good morning, they are angry that you said good morning. And if you see them and you don't say good morning, they are angry that you didn't say good morning. So they are just angry about everything and anything at all. And the Bible says, as a child of God, don't make this a habit. Don't make this a practice. In James chapter 1 verse 19, the Bible says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." So you don't have to be somebody who easily get angry. You shouldn't be somebody who can easily be provoked. Like I said last week, that your reaction, you should try to master your reaction to things. Because when people, like you are driving, somebody just drives in a way that puts you at risk, the easiest reaction is that you should get angry, insult the person, or say something to the person. But the Bible says you should be slow to wrath. People should not be able, they know that this person, you can easily get angry. Some people actually say that, as for me, I get angry easily. And that's how I am. But the Bible says you should be slow to wrath. Naturally, when people do things that provokes you, you just get angry. But that's not what you're supposed to do, because you are not just a natural man. You are a spiritual man. So the Bible says, be slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. It means that the anger of man will not lead you to show the righteousness of God. If you get angry as a reaction to what people have done to you, you cannot produce righteousness, the fruit of righteousness, in that anger. And so when somebody makes you angry and you say something, usually what you say does not bring glory to God because you're angry. When somebody when somebody makes you angry and you try to do something back, you react through because of that anger, usually your reaction does not bring glory to God. It does not glorify God. And sometimes after you have done it, you become ashamed of yourself that you did it. So the Bible says that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And so as a believer, as a child of God, the Bible says, be slow to anger. Don't let, when somebody does something to you, like I said the other time, give yourself a break before you react, because that break will help you think right before you take the action. And so be slow to anger. And again, he says, be slow to speak. So usually when you get angry, you speak in reaction to what has happened. But the Bible says, be slow to speak and be slow to anger. Now, somebody will say that, well, everyone gets angry. Yes, the Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. You get angry over things. You get angry about about things that happen. People can provoke you and make you angry. But the Bible says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. It means, somebody said that by rule of thumb, what it means is that before they go to bed, they make sure that, this is a married couple, they make sure that if there is any misunderstanding, they resolve it before they sleep. They don't want to wake up, go to bed angry, and then wake up being angry with the other person. And so, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Just let people go, like we said last week. Just forgive people. Let it go, because it is to your benefit. And this scripture here in 2 Corinthians, I mean, I've heard a lot of people quote this scripture to pray, but if you look at the context of what the scripture is saying, it was talking about forgiveness. When the Bible says that we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil, it was talking about forgiveness. Unforgiveness is a device of the devil. It's a scheme of the devil. It's a plan of the devil. Verse 10, the Bible says that, now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For indeed I have forgiven anything. I have forgiven that one for your sake in the presence of Christ, lest Satan take advantage of us. It means that if you don't forgive, Satan can take advantage of you. And he says that, for we are not ignorant of his devices. There are a lot of prayer meetings that we have used this to pray. But the context, it's speaking to us about forgiveness. That unforgiveness is a device of the enemy. Unforgiveness is a plan. It's a plot of the enemy. That is how the enemy gets into your life. He says that, for Satan will take advantage of you if you have unforgiveness in your heart. So as long as you decide that you won't forgive that person, then Satan has a device against you. Satan can take advantage of you. And sometimes there are messages that you hear or places that you have to be at a certain time to have deliverance. And because of the device that the enemy has against you, he won't bring you in that space to get deliverance. And the Bible says that as believers, we should not be ignorant of this. Unforgiveness will be a device that the enemy uses against us. Satan will take advantage of us as children of God if we don't forgive people. One, it will hinder your prayer. It will hinder your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And there are things that you are supposed to get at a certain point in your life, but because of unforgiveness, you will not get those things. And so who is losing more? You, the one who is not forgiving people. So the Bible says that we should not allow Satan to take advantage of us. As you decide that you're not going to forgive people, that is Satan taking advantage of you. And whenever you allow him a space in your life, he doesn't come alone. He brings other things. And so once you tolerate one emotion, hatred, now it goes to anger. Now it goes to jealousy. And all those things will come into your life, make you a miserable person. So whatever the Bible tells us to do, it is for our benefit. It's for our good. And so the Bible says, don't let Satan take advantage of you. When somebody offends you, let the people go. Forgive them. It is for your own good. And it's if you love God, if you want to have fellowship with God, if you want to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you cannot have fellowship with the Holy Spirit and still have so much anger in you or so much hatred in you. It doesn't work that way. One of the things the Holy Spirit does in a person's life when they yield to him is to transform their heart so that they can love. And all of us, our pursuit should be that we should love. And that's what the Bible says, pursue love and desire spiritual gift. Most people desire that they will be spiritual, that they will see all visions and have all prophecies. But what we are supposed to pursue is love. And we have desire for spiritual things, which is very important. However, love is the ultimate goal of every believer. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible says, therefore, as elect of God, holy means we have been set apart and beloved, put on tender mercies. That we are supposed to put on. Before he said we should put on, I want to read the verse that says we should put off. Verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off these things. There are things that you're supposed to cast away. Let them not be part of you. Like you put on a shirt or you put on a dress. You are supposed, when you put it off, it is not on you anymore. It is somewhere else. The Bible says, put off these things. Let it not be part of you. Let it not be your identity. Let the people not see you in that posture. That put off these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. There are certain deeds that are deeds of the old man. And the Bible says we have put off the old man, like taking it off. The old man is not on us anymore, shouldn't be identified on us anymore. We have put off that old man. And the Bible says that since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. And so whenever the Bible says put on something, it's like putting on a cloth. What it actually means is to sink into. I mean, the first verse, the one in verse 12 says you should sink into these things. Put on these things. So it says put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. So if you'll be able to put on the new man, then it depends on your knowledge. Your knowledge has to be renewed. The whole reason why the laws were brought was not so that God knew that the people couldn't follow the laws, but God wanted them to see their wretchedness and their need for salvation. And so he gave them all those laws. The Bible in Galatians tells us that the laws pointed us to the fact that we were sinners. The Lord made us understood that there was no way we could meet God's standard. And that created room for salvation. So the reason why the law was given to the people was to make them see that they are sinners. Understand that their actions are not pleasing to God. And create a room for salvation. That is why the law was given. And the Bible says here, and put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him. So you should put on the new man according to the image of him who created that new man. The new man was created in Christ Jesus. And so your new man has to follow the image of Jesus Christ. So the Bible says that the new man has to be according to the image of the one who has created him. And we are created in Christ Jesus. So the new man must reflect the image of Christ Jesus. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is in all. Christ is all and in all. So the Bible says we should put off these things. Anger is one of them. Wrath is one of them. Put them off. Let it not be identified with you. Let it not be a garment. Let it not be something that you wear. And now he says, now you are supposed to put on these things. In verse 8 to 11. I'm sorry, verse 12 to 14. It says, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Put on tender mercies. Put on kindness. So as children who are beloved, you are loved of God. As people who are set apart, who are holy, as people who have the Holy Spirit inside of them. The Bible therefore says that put on tender mercies. Show mercy to people. Extend mercy to people. In fact, if you're able to extend mercy to people, you forgive a lot of the things that you are holding against people. And the Bible says kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. It says, just like the same way that Christ has forgiven you, forgive the other person. The Bible says that when Christ forgave us, he says he doesn't even remember our sins anymore. And the forgiveness that you are extending to people must be in the likeness of the forgiveness that Christ has extended to you. And so Some people will say they are forgiving you, but they still have a way of not coming close to you or not being nice to you. They are forgiving you, but you know they put some clause there. There's some clause there that we have forgiven you. You see, when we come to understand the love that God expects us to have for other people, we see that it is so deep and requires so much from us that we just have to rely on God Himself. We just have to rely on God Himself to help us. And the Bible says that above all these things, put on, sink into love, which is the bond of perfection. If you love people, it will make you perfect. If you genuinely love people, your relationship with them will be perfect. You will not talk against them. You will not say things that you know will hurt them. You will not say things behind their backs. When you genuinely love people, your love for them, when you genuinely love people, your action towards them will be perfect. And that's what the Bible says, to put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Love sums up everything. Love is like Solomon said, let us come to the conclusion of the whole matter. Love is the conclusion of the whole matter. And unfortunately, we have really not come to understand the love that God requires from us. Because when we understand the love that God requires from us, a lot of things about our life will change. A lot of things about how we act will change. And my prayer always has been for believers that we will love. Because love is the ultimate, is the summation of everything. Everything we are doing here means nothing without love. I mean, the Bible says, even if you give yourself to be killed, let's read that. 1 Corinthians. It wasn't part of the things I wanted to share, but let's just read that. 12. He says that, but earnestly desire the best gift. After speaking so much about the gift, he says, earnestly desire the best gift. But yet I will show you a more excellent way. So this is chapter 12. And then he comes to chapter 13. First of all, you have to understand that the Bible was not written in chapters. So this is just a continuation of the idea, whatever he was saying. So he says that, but earnestly desire the best gift, yet I will show you the more excellent way. So he's about to show us the more excellent way. And the more excellent way is what he's telling us now. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become like a sounding brass. It means that you are just making noise. No matter the tongues you can speak, how heavy. You know, there are some tongues that are heavy. And these are words that grow as you continue to use them. And he says that even if I speak with the tongues of angels and I have no love, I'm just making noise. So your prayer that you have been praying for 3 hours, 4 hours, 6, 7 hours, without love, it is just noise in the ears of God. And the Bible says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and I have all knowledge, and though I have faith that could remove mountains, but have no love, I am nothing. These are wonderful things that we all desire to see in our lives. We want to see the faith that moves mountains. We want to be able to understand mysteries. We want to have knowledge. But the Bible says that if I have all these things, if I have the gift of prophecy, if I can understand all mysteries, if I have all knowledge and I can interpret the Bible and give correct understanding and analysis to the words that have been written, if I have faith that can move a mountain, but I have no love, I have nothing. All these things mean nothing if you have no love. If you can preach for everyone to be converted and you have no love. The Bible tells us about the Pharisees that they can follow a person until the person is converted into Judaism, and they make the person a worse hypocrite than the person was. And so there are people who are pursuing souls, but they don't have genuine love for individuals. They love the crowd. As ministers, if you don't take care, you will love the crowd. and not focus on the individual person. So there are churches today, you can see that it is just a crowd. But the individual people don't have time for the individual people who make up the crowd. The Bible is saying that if you have all these things and you have no love, he says you are nothing. And again, this one. He says, and if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. So it is possible to actually give all your goods, everything you have, to feed the poor, and yet you have no love. Sometimes we tend to think that whenever people give gifts and whenever people feed the poor, people take care of the poor, it means they have love. But the Bible, from here, you can tell that it means it is possible to do all these things and still not have love. It says, and if though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And that's why the Bible says in Colossians that love is the bond of perfection. For every action that you take, for it to be perfect, it has to come out of love. Without love, all of us are nothing. And so whenever we hear things like this, we then want to examine our lives and see, what can I do to have love? You need to go before God. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill your heart. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit shares the love of God abroad in our hearts. In fact, I've come to the conclusion that for me to love the way the Bible expects me to, it cannot be from my strength. It has to be from the Holy Spirit. Because it is too high a standard that we cannot meet by our own strength. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit and just yield and allow Him to work in us. Amen. Right. So the point I was making was that love sums up everything. If we have any pursuit, we should pursue love. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is contention, which is also part of the things that we have seen. Maybe let me just talk about jealousy first. Jealousy is also one of the negative emotions that if you don't control, it can affect you, affect your health, affect your relationship with the Holy Spirit. And there are so many dictionary definitions for jealousy, but this is the one that I want us to focus on. Hostile towards a rival or one believed to enjoy an advantage. You could be a Christian, Holy Ghost baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, but you could be entertaining jealousy in your heart. And the Bible says these are works of the flesh. The dangerous part is when you use scripture and you use all these spiritual gimmicks to cover the things that you're supposed to deal with. These emotions could be hiding in your heart and you just use some scriptures to cover them and not deal with them. And so when you go before God in prayer, He knows you. You are not trying to pretend before Him. Just go before Him, lie down and let Him have His way in you. He is the surgeon who is going to be able to change the things in your life that needs to be changed. Don't keep anything away from Him. The Bible says everything is naked and bare before the one that we are dealing with. And so whenever you go before God, be vulnerable and just expose everything in your heart to Him in prayer. So jealousy can be in your heart as a child of God if you don't pay attention to that. There was one minister who had, this is a minister, a very popular minister, who had everything. Big church. God has blessed his ministry. He himself has written a lot of books. Made money through the books. The ministry was doing so well. But he said another minister had something that he didn't have at that time. And so whenever he saw that minister, there was something in his heart that made him angry. Just didn't like the name. Just didn't like the fact that the minister had it, the other minister had that particular thing, and he didn't have it. He was hearing the devil made sure that he would continue to hear the name. He kept on hearing the name every time. And so the Holy Spirit had to point out to him that this is jealousy. And then he repented. He said, God, forgive me. And so whenever he hears the name, then this time what he does was to pray for the minister. Whenever he hears the name, say, God, I thank you that you have blessed this man of God with this thing, that he's doing so much for the kingdom of God. I pray that you continue to bless him. He kept on praying for the minister. And within, as time went by, that thing that the minister had, God blessed him with the same thing. That thing that made him jealous of that minister, he also had the same thing in his ministry. And so we have to be careful not to entertain jealousy towards another person. The first murder that happened in the Bible was because of jealousy. And I want us to read it. Genesis chapter 4. Bible says, Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry. See? It started as anger. He looked at the fact that God has accepted his brother's offering, but didn't accept his. Jealousy. Then he got angry. So all these things don't work. They don't work alone. When you allow one of them, the other one will follow. So Bible says that he was very angry and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, this scripture one day I was studying the Bible and I saw this scripture. And up to today, it speaks to me. He says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? That was the question God asked Abel. If you do well, will you not be accepted? It means that all of us can succeed. You don't have to be jealous of what somebody has. God just said that, listen, your brother has done well. However, if you also do well, you'll be accepted. It means everyone can succeed. What this person has that you are jealous of, if you do well, you will also be accepted. You will also get it. Just like this man's story that I shared with you. If you do well, you'll be accepted. It's the same thing you have to say to yourself. If you see that somebody has something, the person has worked hard, God has blessed him, he has something. If you tell yourself that, I also do well, I'll be accepted. It means I can also make it. I heard a minister say that you will never hear that there is a plane crash in the air. It means the sky is big for everyone to succeed. Everyone can. Birds don't crash in the sky. It means everyone can go up high as you can. So there is no need to be jealous of another person. God's word to Cain was that if you do well, will you not be accepted? And so when you see that somebody has succeeded and you are entertaining jealousy, just tell yourself, if I do well, I'll also be accepted. If I work hard, I can also get what the person has. Now, the Bible says, now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass. It says, but if you do not do well, sin lies at your door, and its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. This sums up what we are discussing, that you must take control of your emotions. And so as your flesh is leading you to jealousy, to be jealous of what somebody has, you must take control of your flesh. As your heart is leading you to be angry and to entertain hatred for another person, what God expects you to do is to rule over that desire, to take control over that desire. And you can do it, because when the Bible says put off, God will not tell you to do something when he knows you cannot do it. And so when he says put off hatred, put off anger, then God knows you can do it. So don't tell yourself that I cannot help myself. I'm so angry with this person that I cannot help. I wish I can just forgive him. But God is telling you, put it off. So he knows you can forgive. He knows you can just decide. You can just turn one day and say, I will not get angry over this thing again. I will not be jealous. It doesn't take forever. It can happen instantly. I will not get jealous over this thing. I will not get angry over this thing. I will not hate this person again. The Bible has asked us to put off. And God is telling Cain here. In verse 8, the Bible says, now Cain talked with his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. This is how some of these emotions can lead you. This is some of the things that they can lead you to. That it starts as something very little, and you continue to entertain it. You continue to entertain it, then it grows into something big. Actually, that's how sin starts. Like an idea, you continue to entertain it, it becomes an action. Then you continue to entertain it, it becomes a habit. Continue to entertain it, it becomes your identity. That everybody knows you. You are. This is what you do. Even the devil knows that this person, this is what he does. So it is just an idea, and then you continue to entertain it, action, and then it becomes a habit. Then it can become your identity. And if you don't take care, it becomes your destiny. And so we should not entertain the slightest thing. When you see it, if there's anything in your life and you see that this thing, I have to pay attention, I have to rule over it, deal with it immediately. Don't let it continue. Don't let it linger. Don't just say, okay, let me just wait next week, next year. No. If you see anything in your life that doesn't glorify God, just deal with it instantly. And you have the power to do it. And so for somebody to go to the extent of killing his brother, at this point, nobody had ever killed anybody before. But this guy was able to kill his brother just because he allowed anger, jealousy, and all those things. And so we have to know that these things grow. Sin will grow in your heart. There are four. I remember three of them now. Someone said, sin will take you further than you want to go. So you decide that, let me just do this thing quickly and then turn back. It will take you further. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. So you think that, maybe I'm just going to lose that, but sin is going to cost you more than you want to pay. And sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. So whenever you think you're just going to make a quick turnaround, sin will usually keep you longer than you want to stay. And that is why we must not entertain it. We have to deal with it immediately. We identify. And that's the heart of David. That is why God loved David. As soon as the prophet pointed out to him that, listen, this thing that you have done is wrong, quickly he repented. And if you read the Psalms, that's how you can see the character of David through the Psalms. As soon as he saw that this thing I'm doing is wrong, quickly he repents. And as a child of God, you must have that heart. As soon as you identify that, this thing I'm doing doesn't please God, quickly you have to change. And God is pleased with a heart that is like that. He points out to you, the Holy Spirit, sometimes the Holy Spirit points out to you, this thing is wrong. But you just ignore it and continue to move on. You continue to ignore it. At a point, it becomes part of you. Your conscience concerning that particular thing now is hardened. So you cannot even hear the Holy Spirit pointing out to you anymore. And so as soon as the Holy Spirit points something to you, now that, for instance, you hear a message and the message points out to you that this thing in your life, you have to address it. That is God using that message to speak to your heart. Immediately you have to act on the message. Act on what you have heard because God has spoken to you. Obey the voice of God and deal with those situations in your life. And so jealousy is what led a brother to kill his own brother. At that point in life, there were very few people that actually he needs this brother. So to have a brother at that time was a wonderful gift. But because of jealousy, because of anger, Cain was able to kill his brother. And so sin, when you tolerate it, it's going to grow and become something, a monster that will be more difficult to deal with. Now, contention, division, it is one of the things that is very common in the church because of denomination. And so people are fighting to get more people in the church, in their church, not because they want them to come to the kingdom, but because of contention. And everything that is in the church, you can see that that is the lifestyle of Christians, because Christians are the ones who make up the church, the body. So when the body comes together and you see that there is a particular habit that is very popular or very common, then that is how Christians are. And so we need to deal with it because we are the ones who form the body. So contention and division is something very common with believers. Even though we don't want to admit it, but it's very common that we are so divided among ourselves that the unity that Christ preached when he was leaving, the love that he preached when he was leaving, we don't see that in the church. We don't see that in the body. And Paul wrote to the church. And everyone has a scripture to support their division. Paul wrote to the church. He says, For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of the house of Cleo's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each one of you say, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. All of them they identified themselves with people that God had used. And so everyone is saying, mine is right. I'm of Christ. I'm of me. I only follow Paul. Somebody says, I only follow Apollos. Somebody also said, I only follow Cephas. That is Peter. And then another person who probably was thinking was superiors, I don't follow any of these people. I only follow Christ. And Paul says that this is contention. This is division. He says, is Christ divided? So we need to sometimes understand the bigger picture as people of God. Let's not limit our sight to denominations or to community churches, but let's see the church as one unit, no matter where they are. And that is what Jesus Christ came to do on earth when he said that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, the first idea of a church, and this is a message that I had recently, the first idea of a church or an assembly is the Israelite. But the Israelites were divided people. If you want to identify, if you meet an Israelite right now, those days, and you say, he says, I'm an Israelite. Now, they will ask you further, which tribe do you come from? Then he will say, maybe I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Then, which family do you come from? Then he will say, I'm of the family of this person. Then they will go down, who is your father? So that is how the Israelites identify themselves. And when you read the Bible, you see it. That he says, Jesus Christ, of the tribe of Judah, from the family of that. When you read the Israelite, their history, that is how it is. They were so divided. Now Jesus Christ is saying that, I am going to build my church. And my church is not going to be like any other church. He says, my church, the gate of hell shall not prevail against my assembly that I'm building, the assembly of people that I'm raising. They will not be like any other assembly. So there was an assembly of people who identify as God's people. But Jesus Christ said, his assembly of people that he's going to raise, they are not like any other assembly. They will not be divided by race. They will not be divided by tribe. They will not be divided by who is your father. Because all of them will be united together by the Holy Spirit. And you can see sometimes when you look at the idea that Jesus Christ had concerning the church and what we see today, sometimes it feels like we are failing. It really feels like we are failing. But anytime I think about the church, what I hold on to is the prophecy of God concerning his church. That he said that in the end, the church will be an exalted mountain. So whatever he has said is true concerning the church. I usually don't want to go that way when I'm preaching. I just want to stay to the notes. But sometimes I'm just tempted to. So we are talking about contention. And that as people, as children of God, we should not entertain contention. We should not be so divided. We should not. You know, there are people who now contention has become part of their. And this, if you study this thing further, it can be something that comes from so many factors. Sometimes for some people, it comes from the way they were raised. They were just divided in their family. And everything about them is divided. And so when they come to a place, the only way they can thrive is through division. And so they will instigate division in the place that they have come to. And if you don't take care and identify this thing as a weakness and deal with it, if you're a child of God, it becomes part of you. It becomes your habit, your identity. So when you go to a place where people are united, then you come there, you'll be the factor that brings the division. We should deal with this type of contention because the Bible, as children of God, we should not be people who are so divided. In fact, I'm out of time. Didn't want to make this a three-part series. So let me just summarize what we have done today. I'll pause here. Like I said, because this is an election year, because emotions are going to be I want us to talk about emotions. I'll come back to this particular message, but for today, we are just going to close with this one. So today we have spoken about jealousy, contention, and wrath or anger. And so any other negative emotion that you identify that doesn't glorify God, please deal with it. Because one of the things that, this is a message that God really laid on my heart. The thing that prevents us from experiencing genuine fellowship with the Holy Spirit is these things, these negative emotions. They will keep you away from experiencing God's power. They will keep you away from experiencing God's grace. So let's deal with these things. Let's deal with them as believers. Amen.
Amen.
Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you all the glory. We bless your holy name, Lord. Be exalted in our lives above every other emotion. Be exalted in our lives above every other feeling that we tolerate, O God. We bring our hearts before you, Lord. Heal our hearts. Heal our heart of anger. Heal our heart of wrath. Heal our hearts of jealousy. Heal our hearts, Lord, of hatred in the name of Jesus. We declare this morning that we put on the Holy Spirit. We put on love. We put on tender mercies. We put on kindness. Father, we put on long suffering. We declare this morning that we are bearing one another. We are loving one another in Jesus' mighty name. Father, in any area of our weakness, we lay bare before you and we ask for your help, Holy Spirit. Help us in our weakness, O God. Give us grace, Lord, to overcome any sin that so easily cleaves onto us. We pray for grace to overcome them in the mighty name of Jesus. This morning, we declare that we have received grace. Every negative emotion, we are healed of it right now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
All right.